pretty much, you're just kind of regular. But then every once in a while, the Lord would like to really give us a special, something that we can just shake our heads at and think, why haven't I seen that before? And I feel like that this is something that the Lord did for me in this little passage, and I trust that it will be that way for you this morning. Just this little Bible story, and yet we know that David wrote a whole Psalm 119 on how much he loved God's law and how much he meditated upon. And you know what that he was talking about? He wasn't talking about Ephesians and Philippians. He didn't have that. He was talking about Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And he was talking about all that. That's all David had. And so I begin thinking, sometimes I think, well, for real encouragement this morning, I need to turn to Hebrews or to Timothy. But you know, David, he found some real gems in Exodus and Numbers. And so I've been endeavoring to look at those places too and see what David saw that was so precious. And there are things that are precious in those books. They are the shadowings and the foreseeings of something that we enjoy literally today. So to look back into that and to see some precious truths in types is a real special thing. And Brother Bob mentioned this morning that we should endeavor to study. And I had a minister talk to me just lately and how he had gone through such a severe trial. And he said during that trial, he could not read or pray. A minister. For some years, his nerves were so bad, he could not read or pray. And he was concerned. I want to carry a burden. I want to read the Word. And he told the Lord that. But he could not. His mental and nerve condition would not allow him to focus and be concentrated like that. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you're going to be drawing out of what you've put in the bank these last few years, and you've been well and you've been normal, and I'm going to take care of you and bring you through your trial because of what you've been putting in. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that kind of the Lord to know our hearts are perfect before Him? And He just, when we reach places where we can't handle things of our own flesh, He just steps in. That's wonderful, isn't it? But the key was, he had something in the bank. You can't write a check and pay something if you don't have it in the bank. The Lord knew that he had been faithful in his days of wellness and had put all this in, and he said, now I'm going to take care of your soul. And he did that. So I'm so thankful for what the Lord... I see a wonderful picture of mercy in this passage that I want to read this morning. Am I heard? Am I talking all right? Okay. This is easy. I thought it would be hard, but I mean to be heard in here. It's nice. I'm used to, what, 24 by, I don't know how big. I'm used to about this size right here. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. It hit me one day as I read this, of the great opportunity here that was given to Moses, and it was hinging on something that he was to do. He was doing his business, and that's what you and I do every day. We go about our business. He was out here tending his father-in-law's sheep. He was being a good shepherd. He had had some real major failures in his life, hadn't he? And his life, it had not turned out at all like he thought it was supposed to. And he was getting up in years. He was nearing 80 years old at this time. And you think sometimes maybe you're in a desert and life has just turned out to where you just don't see what you thought you would see in your life. But you're doing your business, you're doing your best, and you're going along, and perhaps you have failures too, and we all have, many of them. Yet the Lord had his sights on Moses, and he hadn't, just because he had failed and he had taken things in his own hand and paid a great price for it, the Lord, in his mercy, he called him again. But he did this in a very strange way. Moses was over here in the desert, and here was an old thorny bush, acacia bush, I believe it was, that they had out there on that desert, full of thorns, an old thing that you'd probably kick around. And here was this bush, and he looked, and it was burning. And you'd think that, where'd the fire come from? Well, who said that? Well, how'd that happen? And it got his attention, and he turned aside from what he was doing. He quit his flock tending for the minute there, and he turned aside to see what's going on here. Now, you think, if I was out here walking along Cimarron and I was kicking around at the tumbleweeds out here and throwing rocks, and all of a sudden I saw a bush burning, I think I'd turn and look too. But did you know that God puts burning bushes in our lives every day? And He is waiting on our response. And if we will respond and turn aside from our business and the things that we're so busy doing, and we'll investigate and we'll seek. Did you know God will speak to you personally? But He's waiting for the turning aside from the usual, from what you're used to doing. He's waiting for an investigating heart. He spoke in that direction in His ministry. Jesus told him, I speak to you in parables, burning bushes, strange things. He wanted people who would to say, wait a minute, what is it are you saying? What is taking place here? There's something deeper, there's something more than meets the eye. What is this? He wanted some seeking hearts. My husband has a saying that says, we're not going to roller skate to heaven. We're not. It's not going to be made easy. But He's going to put little opportunities in everyday affairs of our lives where we will have a chance to turn aside. And if we will turn aside and begin our search, I want to know why. It says here, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. We are so busy, and life just seems to go on. But God, He's saying, I want you to look at what's happening. Here's a sick person over here that I'm allowing to pass through a great fight of affliction. Folks, they're not there haphazardly. The affliction sent to the saints, the burnings, the fires, the furnaces, they haven't been sent here accidentally. These are some places where He's saying, turn aside, dig a little bit, seek. I want you to ask me why this is happening. I have something to say to you. I'm going to speak to you. But you just keep on, and you just go on about your business, and we just keep doing what we're doing, and we never turn aside to see. We're never going to hear the voice. We're never going to see Jehovah. Like He revealed Himself, see, after this to Moses, He said, I never talked to Abraham like I'm talking to you. They didn't know me by the name that I'm revealing to you. But I'm doing something because you turned aside. Jesus said, to whomsoever hath shall be given. What do you think that hath means? What do you mean hath? Talents? Money? Position? Pedigree? Long standing with the saints? That's not what He's talking about. Whosoever has what? An investigative mind, a seeking heart, an open ear. To him that hath, more shall be given. But to whomsoever hath not, it shall be taken away, even that he hath. And that's all He's asking for us, is to just begin seeking. To just start seeking. To look at the things that happen in our life that are just a little more than common. A miracle the Lord does for you. You ask the Lord to help you find your keys. The Lord helped you find your keys. This is supernatural. This is not something that happened because it just happened. Every one of us has things, burning bushes in our lives. He wants us to turn aside and check it out. Children can do this. Young people. You've got some situations where you know this didn't happen. This something was different here. Check it out. See why this happened. Begin searching. And I believe that God will speak to you out of the bush. Right out of those places. Now I want to speak just a little bit about the bush. I want to just give you a little thought that I had. I thought about some verses about fire. Over here in Hebrews, it talks about God and what He is. In Hebrews 12 and 29, just a little ending up here of this whole chapter, but it says, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, but wait just a minute. If the bush was on fire and that was God, and you're telling me that God is a consuming fire, why was the bush not burnt? Why was He there and yet it did not be consumed? It's not consumed, but God's a consuming fire. You explain that one. Okay, I'd like to try. Our God is a consuming fire. He is a God of judgment and a God of purging and a God of method. He's a God of... He does not behold evil. He won't look upon it. He hides His face from it. Back then and now. Sometimes we think, oh, this is mercy dispensation. God winks at things like this. Not so, because in Acts 17, Paul told those people that in your former times, the Lord winked at your ignorance. But now what? He has called all men to repent he's commanded every man everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. So he's definitely a God of judgment and a God of fire. He's a consuming fire. And we have reason to fear him. But I am so thankful when I read over here in Exodus 3 where we've been reading. Here was this old thorny bush. And to me, this is just a type or a little picture of a people that he was getting ready to work with. He told Moses, he said, I want to dwell among you. I want to work among you. I want to be your God. You will be my tabernacle. In a sense, those people were this bush, full of thorns, full of faults and sins and failures and stubbornness and hard-heartedness. Have people changed? We haven't changed, have we? We're no, being Americans, being enlightened, being down here in 1995, have people changed from what they were back then? Do you know God is still dealing with a bunch of thorns? Just, we are. We have been, and we are. Faults and failures and stiffness and the Lord working. And you know what? I want to show you something over here in Lamentations. This came to my mind. Here's this consuming fire. And here you have a bush of thorns. It looks like that when you get the two together, it would just disintegrate it. It would be no more. You'd think that when you, that God in His presence, when He'd come here and deal with us and work with us, it would be so much for us that we would just, we'd be consumed. It sure would. But you know, there is another side to the Lord. In Lamentations 3, we read here how that God had done some pretty powerful chastening and some purging. They had gone away from God. They had defiled His temple. They had messed up everything that He had brought about. They had killed His prophets. They had defied His priests. They had gone into idol worship, had offered their children upon the altars to Molech and Ashtoreth and all of those awful things that are being revived in our world today. And they had just forsaken Him, and He had told them. He let Asa know. He said, as long as you are with me, I will be with you. But when you forget me, I will forget you. He let him know. He was merciful. He bore with them for many years. He said, sending your prophets to you, rising early and preaching the word of God unto you. So he dealt with this old thorny bush for many years. But Jeremiah, looking back, did you know that God, in all of that, He had mercy? He had mercy with the people. He did. You don't have a God that's all judgment. Neither do you have a God that's all mercy. He's complete. His word is balanced. And He wants us to be balanced. And He's not totally one or totally the other, yet He is totally one. And He's mercy to its fullest extent. You will never find anyone more merciful than God. You will never see anyone with more judgment than God. He is total and He is complete in either way. Here we have the picture of this old thorny bush. God dwelling in it, and yet it was not consumed. Why? Because of this element of mercy. Here it says in Lamentations 3 and 1, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of His wrath. He hath led me, brought me into darkness. Surely against me is He turned. My flesh and my skin is made old. He's built it against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He's hedged me about. I cannot get out. When I cry and shout, He shutteth out my prayer. just think about this. This happens sometimes now. We come through trials just like this. But I wanted to feel the Lord. I couldn't find God. We prayed and we prayed and God wasn't there. I've heard this from people that I know. It's nothing new, is it? It's just God working. He's working. He's in the burning bush. He's right here working. And yet, he said in verse 18, I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. This is despair. I don't think I'm going to make it. But yet, it said, this I recall to my mind, verse 21, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Here, where this old thorny bush. You know, when you think about how God has had to deal with you, some people, it just about has to knock them on the head, so to speak, and shake them. Don't you see? Other people, He would not dare do that to. Why? All He has to do is look at them, and they go away and cry bitterly. You know, there's all kinds of us. And yet He's dwelling, He's burning, and really, in all rights and respects, we would be consumed. But God's not willing, the Scripture says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He burns on. He's burning out some things, all right. Out of your life and out of my life, all these things we're going through, He's intending for something to go. He really would like for the thorns to be burned up. You know, the children of Israel, the Hebrew children there in Daniel, they put them in the furnace, and guess what burned up there? Just the things that bound them. Well, that's what we do too. Just the things that really bind you is what gets torn up, burned up in the fire of affliction. But you may go through it. You may be burning. It may be hot. But in God's mercy, you won't be consumed. You're just going to be brought through. It says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. What is the song that hope sings? Heart. I hear hope sweetly singing, softly in an undertone, singing as if God had taught her. It is better farther on. Better what? Better times ahead, possibly, but really better things down in the heart. Better enjoyments with the Savior. That's what He's working toward. That's what the fire is for. Fiery trials, it says. There's different thoughts that we have in the Bible about the fire. But here it says, the reason why the bush didn't burn up is because of His mercies. It is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed in our trials and in our hard places. The reason why you're just not laid by the wayside somewhere is because God loves you. And He's just gently leading with you and working with you and me. Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. I used to think about that in school whenever I realized that, whew, this is a new day and my demerit slip is totally clear. Remember how that is? No demerits because this is a new day. If I mess it up, that's because I did something today. But I just think about this. New compassions every morning. That's the way He is. He morning by morning He shows His faithfulness. He wakes us. He opens our ear. He speaks to us. I learned that from my dad. He said, if you will, the minute, even before you wake, this can start happening before you actually awake, tune your mind to the Lord. The night before, say, Lord, talk to me. Give me something when I'm waking. And you know, if you do that, the Lord will do that for you. But, and I used to hear about a minister, she said, the first thought on my mind is the Lord. And I had a new baby, and I thought, He's away with me because the first thing I hear is that baby crying. But I understand more what they're talking about now. It's a preparation of the heart. You just really turn aside to see is what I'm talking about. Put your heart to seek and investigate, and He will visit you and He'll talk to you. It says, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Then I thought about a scripture over here back in Isaiah. We really lean on this scripture many times when we're in trials. Isaiah 43. It says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, I'm thankful for the promise this morning that although He's a consuming fire and He's a God of great judgment, yet He causes us to be right in that fire, and He dwells there and He's working. It's not with an intention to destroy us, but to redeem us, to prove us, to humble us. I'm thankful for that today. Then I think about over here Paul talking to the ones, not Paul, but Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 12. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. That burning bush, that glory, He's burning in there, and it may be fiery, and yet it's mercy, and yet it's glory. On their part, He's evil spoken of. Well, look what they're going through. I tell you, you people are the most afflicted people. You all are constantly having something. Right. It's a burning bush. There's fire here. God's working. And yet in His mercy, we sang that song this morning, in wisdom, His mercy, the flames may have sent to save me from eternal judgment. Greater woe. That's what He's talking about. So I'm thankful for the burning. They say what they will. He did prophesy that I would leave in Zion an afflicted people, and they would trust in the name of the Lord. So we're just fulfilling His word. Then I thought about over here in Deuteronomy, Moses never forgot his experience. And in Deuteronomy, he gave his last message to his people. Deuteronomy 33. And that's the chapter of blessing when he blessed the tribes. Before I read that, I want to read one in 32. I was thinking here about this old bush out here in the desert and likening it to God's people. In 32 and verse 10 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." Now, you know, don't put this off on these people. Put your name in here. This is you and me. He found us out here in the desert. And he put his glory in us. He chose to dwell among us. Not because we were worthy or because we were the most populous of all people. We're just an old thorny bush. And yet he chose to dwell there. So it says he found him. He led him about. He instructed him. "As an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him," you and me, "and there was no strange God with him." Oh, it goes on. It talks about how that he dealt so gently with him. The Lord does deal gently with us. Chapter 33 and in verse 16. Well, starting at verse 13. "And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his hand, his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, for the deep that coucheth beneath, for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, for the precious things put forth by the moon, for the chief things of the ancient mountains, for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush." You see, here we are combining the two thoughts again, a consuming fire and goodwill. Can you meet them? Can you put them together? How were they put together? In Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that in the person of Jesus, God combined that old law and judgment of the Old Testament and that truth and that fierceness and his anger and the way he dealt with people, he combined it in mercy. Mercy and truth, it said, have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In whom? In Jesus. These two things, goodwill and a burning fire. And that's how he works with you and me. Isn't that a wonderful picture this morning? Doesn't it make you, can you see maybe just a little keener the purpose for our afflictions and our trials? The things that we don't understand, the places where we lose it. Control, I cannot, this thing is just happening. This fire is just burning. I don't know who started this thing, but it's God. It's his goodwill towards you. One place that we depend on so much over here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11, such a promise that we have. "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Well, but it takes a little bit of this turning aside, doesn't it? To see. He said, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." I can promise you this too. If you will, it says one place in Hosea, it says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. That's what's gonna reveal Him to you. If we won't turn aside, if we look at all this fire and all this affliction and just dismiss things and just go about, and nothing ever changes, there's no movement, there's no progress, there's no investigating, we'll miss the knowing. And we'll say to people, there's a thing about y'all I don't understand. We'll seek. Find out. You see somebody that holds this particular conviction? Get with them. How'd you do that? What made God speak to you like that? Investigate. Take the older person that you think is kind of dull and boring. Who were they with back when they were young? What minister did they know? Who taught them? And why did he teach you that? See, investigate. If you and I never investigate, we're not going to know. But if we'll turn aside to see, we're going to find out. And God's going to speak to us right out of the bush. The goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. I'm thankful that He dwells there, aren't you? He didn't just visit the bush, but He's telling Moses, this is you and my people. I'm going to dwell with you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you, instruct you, hold you, carry you. That's what He did. That's what He does with us too. I'm so glad for what He is doing in each of our lives. Just want to encourage us to go through whatever the Lord wants us to go through. Cast it on the Lord. Just say, Lord, you know. There's just such comfort in knowing the Lord knows. Isn't it? To know that He knows. I don't know. My companion and I, we can't figure this out. Well, we thought we had the faith. We thought we were doing... Why this? Lord knows. And He knows what He's doing. So I'm encouraged. I hope this has encouraged you to... Turn aside this morning if you're not saved and you're looking at what goes on in people that are saved and you can't figure out, wow, it looks like the most spiritual people among you, the sickest ones. Turn aside and find out. Start looking and God's going to speak to you right out of some of these cases that are so difficult. I will never forget how God spoke to me out of Lori's life and Sister Dorlila and some of the others that I was able to know from this congregation and Brother Lee and different ones. And you just had to think, why them? What's going on? I don't understand this. But it's this burning bush. He's holding it up before us. Will you turn aside? Will you inquire? One scripture in Isaiah, he said, if you will inquire, inquire. Go ahead and ask questions. Go ahead and come to the Lord and say, I want to know what's going on. I want to know why you're dealing with us this way. Lord, what's in us? What are you working with? And the Lord will tell, He'll talk to you. I'm so thankful for His voice out of the bush. Please pray for me. I desire to serve Him, be faithful.